and pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. When it comes to the teacher shortage, who's abandoning whom? New piece in Education Week, our guest from Educators Amplified, Joanna Rosato. She'll be calling in. She had an internet issue over there in Milwaukee, Johnny, so she let us know. So, Evan, pay attention. You'll probably see a phone call coming in. We'll get Joanna back through the phone. But, Johnny, you know, we're talking about the system, and one of the things that Michael Fullan and Joanna do in this piece is lay out, you know, two kind of places where we're gonna either walk end up, or you know, be there, or we can choose. And we think about this. There you are. You're back there, Joanna Rosato. Yay! Oh,
crazy
man.
Issues tonight.
We were so worried. But just talking to Johnny though. When you know, we're talking about the system, and again, the system is complex, but you all both point out that we have kind of like two choices. We can let the system go as it's going, which was named as this, you know, capitalistic type of business capital. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to start with the business capital. Tell me more about what that means. What does the business capital system mean?
Well, it basically talks about like big business is actually a driver in education. And that's something that is kind of misunderstood, that, you know, why is there standardized testing? Because standardized testing is related to testing companies. You know, why is there standardized curriculum? Like there's all money and there's all profit in that. Like, again, you guys are professors. Like, professors of education aren't going to say, what are the best ways for your children to learn? Have it be heavily standardized and fill in the bubble. Like, so, you know, our education system is heavily driven by big business. And you can even think about the whole one-on-one computer initiative, where we have the American Academy of Pediatrics saying screen time limited for young children and their development. Yet on the other hand, we're like, we're happy to put a device in every hand. And so just pointing out that a lot of decisions within education, or a lot of the things happening, are connected to other things in our society and our economy, and that it's kind of been like big business is a driver. And there's a different way of looking at things from that perspective versus from a human functioning perspective.
Yeah, because we'll get to that, the human functioning, Johnny. But, you know, the piece where they're talking about, I mean, okay, somebody might read this piece and go, okay, whoa, you just went too far there, Rosato and Fullan. Artificial intelligence, AI and machine learning being the end result of the business capital model. Tell us more about that. We got to know. What do you mean AI? What do you mean machine learning? Come on.
Well, just how things are automated, you know, even right now we have some real issues, right, with student privacy and the amount of like programs and machines that are used and are intertwined with our school system. And then this bigger idea that, you know, all of this is actually relatively new, right? Like technology is new, AI is new. And then if we don't approach it with caution, you know, we don't know what the effects are going to be exactly. What we kind of do, like I said, it came later. Like we were like, hey, let's put a device into every kid's hand. And then we're like, wait a second, that actually impedes some development. So maybe we shouldn't. And so just, you know, the path is like, we like what's new and what's cool, but we don't know that that necessarily aligns with human development.
The human part, we're going to get there. We got to stay on this. Johnny, what do you think? Artificial intelligence, machine learning, business capital, or Rosato and Fullan onto something there?
Yeah, I think it's important to bring into the conversation, because I think there are people in decision-making positions who believe that there is an automated way to replace teachers, or to like really de-skill the labor or the craft apprenticing that it takes to be a good teacher. And so I think we have to really like not tiptoe around those realities. I think what we know is, even in places where we've taught with technologies that include artificial intelligence technologies and include that young people still require a connection to a teacher. And so this is an irreplaceable role in our society. So it's, again, it looks good and sounds good on paper, but in all ways where it's been enacted or experimented on, it falls flat. And it still requires a really great teacher mediating that experience with that inanimate, as intelligent as it can be, the inanimate object that's trying to be a facilitator of learning. Humans learn from other humans and from other living species. I know that sounds wild, but it's actually time and time again there, kind of the crux of this. So I think it's important that they bring it in, because I think there are certain tools of technology that do help us in our classrooms, but in all those cases, we are irreplaceable. And the only thing that can happen, though, is that our irreplaceable labor is devalued to a point where lots of people leave.
And we're going to talk about that irreplaceableness when we get back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, Joanna Rosato, Education Week, back at the break.
Ultimately, second, the Republican Party is the party of murder and the party of death. I am a proud FDR Democrat. The one thing I'd like to bring into this conversation is the fact that you do have certain referendums that are increasing money that's going into education, but then they're starting to cut the teachers' either pensions or cut teachers' insurance or not giving the benefits to the teachers. They're giving them to, again, the higher-ups within the organization. Now teaching's becoming like school, or I'm sorry, school is becoming like, you know, business and like medical. It's all getting corporatized, and it's really, really a big problem. And I hope to hell they can fix it.
Well, Joanna, you know, is so Tom's hearing you. It's the business model. I saw you, you know, because we get the pleasure of seeing Joanna. You had some reactions there.
Well, I when Tom really talked about the disproportionate of where do money and benefits go, I know something that we've experienced here in Wisconsin is because our budgets are always so tight, districts have been more inclined to make one-time purchases and investments rather than ongoing investments. Mm-hmm. And so the one-time purchase or investment is often, like you said, it's products. So there's been this big investment in products versus the ongoing costs related to people. So there was something he said that lit that up for me about, like, where are things going?
Well, you said this too, and you say, you know, products over people. And then, yeah. And so, Tom, you know, the shifting funding, you know, when there is extra funding, and Joanna, I appreciate the way you put that in there to let us know that when you do see some extra funding right now, the fact is that I wouldn't even say it's an investment. It's just a one-time purchase of a product, because we're not passing it on to professional development. The longer the development of teachers, the development of children, we're purchasing products, which really fits in line with this business capital model that you and Dr. Fullan kind of lay out in this piece of going, you know, hey, if we're wondering about why teachers are demoralized, and if we actually listen to them, we'll start to hear that teachers are saying, I don't want any more products. I want to be back. Go ahead, Joanna.
It's become imbalanced. Just how when we get really standardized with students, it became imbalanced that then we weren't really meeting well enough their physical, emotional, and social needs. You know, it's been imbalanced. And so now we've got to get balanced again, because that's ultimately what we say, how do you work in partnership? You know, how do you use the best parts of technology with, you know, humans, with professionals, with, you know, the aspects of how teaching and learning actually occurs. And we have more of that information now. So yeah, we've become imbalanced. Educators have been sounding the alarm for a long time, because that's another part of the article where we said this moment is kind of inevitable. And Michael and I, in our discussions, would just keep coming back to, I'm like, you could put the best things out there, but in this system, it won't last. It won't stay, you know? And it reminds me of like when, if a school is having some real issues with students with intensive needs, which in a way to me just means like kids are stressed out in general. And if we don't have conditions in a school that bring stress down, but rather alleviates it, just throwing in one little unit on here's your emotions isn't going to make a big difference. You know, you've got to build a system around that. And so that's what we're saying, is that there's been a lot of kind of one-off solutions presented to the teaching profession and to schools as institutions, but without that being aligned and coherent overall, it's really not making an impact. We've been focused on external things rather than internal things. And all externals actually have an internal start or base.
Oh, man. L.A. Tom, one more comment before we let you go there with Joanna Rosato, our special guest. Okay, Tom, we're going to assume. Johnny, when we think about this, so moving it in, so business capital, AI learning, my goodness, of course, you said, Joanna, you said something else too today. Staying, why aren't people staying? I like that word, right? Because we have a staying problem. However, the teachers that are staying, though, like you, when we think about, though, what's the alternative? And this is where you and Michael Fullan put this together. If we want to disrupt the system, you got to give us something to disrupt it with. And in this piece, you give us another way to view the world. And we've been hinting at it, but Joanna, take it away and tell us, you know, if we're not going to do business capital, what do we need to do?
Well, we talk about a humanity-based learning system. And very simply, it can start by truly listening and observing kids and the people within the system, and what are their needs and what are they describing, and working with them. It talks about that human functioning would be our measure, you know? And so, right, that would mean like, right, harmony, balance, people able to focus, people able to be productive, have healthy relationships, like all of that would be occurring. Whereas we saw the opposite when we came back from the pandemic, right? We heard a lot of stories about the kids kind of being disoriented in a way, right? And having difficulties with social adjustments. And I think it was just because the conditions mismatched with what they actually really needed, because we just put that old system that is kind of compliance heavy right in their faces, you know? Gosh, I love reading these stories now about how teachers will give examples of how kids were doing the behaviors of the grade that they last were in school. Like, I just read something, right, where it was about, like, they noticed, like, eighth grade students doing duck, duck, goose. And the teacher was like, wow, kids this age, like, really don't do that, you know, but that there really has been this gap. I know I noticed it in my own daughter. And so, right. And then when we came back, we still treated it as like, nope, you're in eighth grade and here's the standard. So again, that's kind of a specific example, or I hope I hope it brings some specificity to like, the human functioning would be a measure then of how well are we doing. Are there conditions so that kids can settle and focus and engage deeply in their work and with each other?
Johnny Lupinacci, I see you looking there, buddy.
I'm just taking it all in because I'm energized and inspired not only by this article, but by Joanna's reminding us, you know, that there is a real upswing on this. We have a tremendous voice, collective voice, as teachers, and as we're coming back to the classroom, you know, that we turn our attention and energy to those spaces being the best possible places they can be while we're communicating out to the general public and to those decision makers who are part of that system in the man, right? That not only can we do things differently in our classroom, but y'all can do a whole lot to support that difference, right? And that would go a long way to meeting the needs of all the children in these classrooms and their families. So I get inspired. I'm honored to have Joanna on the show, but even more so to be able to share the piece with so many folks going back to the classroom in the coming weeks. And really with a lot of trepidation, a lot of exhaustion, a lot of fear, like, hey, whew, how are we gonna do this? Are we ready? Did we even breathe? Did we even catch our breath this summer? And as we're coming back to the fall, might things be not easier, because there's never an easy day in any classroom, but might they be different? And may our leaders have heard us speaking on behalf of things can be different and they really need to be. So as we head back in, it's a wonderful piece. And Joanna, you spoke to that tonight. Thank you for being here on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate it. And L.A. Tom, you are still there. L.A. Tom, we're going to let you jump back in here. Tom, what are you thinking about now that you've heard more wonderful wisdom from Joanna Rosato?
Well, I just think, number one, we need to quit this automation thing of everything, because this is making us detached from each other. It's making it so there is more violence, I believe, in this country. There is more hiding behind keyboards and all these different things and shooting up. You know, there is no one-on-one human connection anymore. And I'm telling you, that is going to be the downfall of our humanity in a major, major way. And what I was also going to say is that, you know, we need to take care of the teachers that are retiring rather than, breaking promises that were made to them. I know in the Eau Claire School District, that has been an issue. Where they've gone and changed the insurance plans and things like this that basically made it so teachers weren't getting as much security as they used to. That was one of the main reasons people went into teaching. Those people talk to other people, and then the younger people don't go into teaching. Because why would they go into teaching if teaching is just going to go to the administrators and just the money is going to go to the administrators and it's just going to go to, just like in any corporation, up to the higher-ups, and I won't say the billionaires, but you know what I mean in terms of the corporate structure. So people need to start getting back down to reality, stop trying to really and truly reinvent this wheel, and really and truly start going back to the basics of what teaching was. They should look at Iceland, and they should look at places like that where they had the worst schools in the world, and now they're the number one schools in the world. This is not rocket science. This is just basically getting back to humanity.
And I was going to say, Tom, L.A., Tom, you were just going to, you leaned into that perfectly for Joanna, because it's like, you know, when you say, you know, sometimes we worry when somebody, well, we want to get back to, but I actually hear what you're saying, getting back to recognizing the human condition of which we typically would see teaching and learning occurring, that interaction that Joanna, you and Michael talk about. It's like, look, we have a choice as we're coming into this new school year, this idea of a teacher shortage and the crisis and all these things. It's like, we have a choice to recognize that the human condition, the humanity here, is something that we can claim.
Well, that's why we use the words abandoning, the whole, like, who's abandoning whom? Like, teachers have felt abandoned from, you know, being able to access the true nature of the work. And when we put that back together, you will not have people fleeing. You know, they will be there. They want to stay. We have to make it so that, just like how we want kids to want to be in school. But so we were specific in choosing that word, you know, and the idea of who's abandoning whom, because it's all being portrayed as like teachers are leaving and they're just fleeing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it, right? This is the part, too. It helps us get more clear on this, quote, teacher shortage and understanding what the teacher shortage really is and recognizing that we've got a system that for the longest time has been broken and people have been leaving because the system doesn't create that connection between humans. And the fact that after COVID now that we see the human condition totally on display where we're saying we need to connect again, that's what we need to do. Joanna Rosato, one more time when we get back. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, back in the break. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk. L.A. Tom, thank you for your call last time. 844-967-2789. When it comes to the teacher shortage, who's abandoning whom? Joanna Rosato, Educators Amplified, co-author of this piece in Ed Week. Oh, man, you know, we've been kind of putting this out there and saying, like, what an opportunity as we come back to school to really say, look, the system, the machine, Pink Floyd said this, let's throw those out. Let's move away. Let's reclaim. Let's take advantage of it, recognizing teaching and learning is probably one of the most base human interactive connective opportunities. And so when we think about this, I said, you know, I really want people to recognize what, for me, this helped to go is when we talk about solutions, of which Johnny and I typically criticize, most of the solutions for the teacher shortage, you know, when we hear that, hey, anybody can teach, you know, in fact, you know, it's such a crisis right now. In fact, we need to let anybody teach. You know what? It makes sense, though, in your piece, Joanna, with you and Michael, because actually, a solution in the business capital model of people who aren't licensed, really good, awesome human connectors, you don't need them. So in one sense, you know what? If we keep the system in place, we will solve the shortage with replacing teachers with other than, you know, any of those who want to, whether, you know, you have a desire to, you know, you think you can do this job, but you know, the solutions actually, when we find less than qualified people for being teachers, well, in this system, you don't need qualified teachers. I want to reclaim the school year, Joanna. I want qualified teachers. The way we do that is that human condition connection. Is that what I'm reading and feeling as I read this piece?
Yeah, and it's asking us to even think further. So people can hear too the human connection and think that it is solely about relationships, but we are talking about having a system that supports human functioning across the board, meaning the environments we're in, the policies and practices we use, all of that. I think that it's a good time to reflect and recognize as all this stuff has been added on, there's just been like confusion. And the structure of school itself can actually be stress inducing. Okay. So when we talk about like things always in a rush and we've got to do this here and have this there and, you know, times and lots of changing schedules and structures and there's this emergency and that emergency, like right there, just hearing me talk about that, like, does that set the conditions for the best human functioning? When people feel like they're at the bottom of something in a top-down management structure, is that priming you for your best human functioning? So we're asking to look at that and be like, if we really want people to function their best, then we have to look at whole as a whole. How do we develop an educational structure in governance and operations that is actually supportive of harmony and balance and things that are supportive of human functioning?
Man, I don't know, Johnny. What do you think about this human function? Yeah, I see you. You're like, Johnny's like, bring it on, man. Bring it on, Johnny Lupinacci.
Human function, please. I couldn't agree more. And you know, for our listeners, and I'll just kind of be short because I'm just kind of, I'm exhausted as an educator. I think I'm not alone. But the places where I find real hope, not the kind of hope that like pumped me up to like run my head into the wall, right? But the kind of hope that I can really wrap action around. I can really rethink and think about how to sustain good teaching as I go back to the classroom. Joanna brings that not only to the show, but you know, in that piece, reading it this week, you know, it reminded me as we go back that we have so much to offer, and that you know, it's our experiences that make us greater. And that's not to say change isn't necessary, but that's to remember that it's happening both on the ground and in the system. And so, you know, there are a lot of veteran teachers out there with a lot that we can all be listening to. So find them, connect with them, and figure out what's going to work in terms of making it very human in every way in the spaces that we go back to in the next couple of weeks.
What do you think about that? And Joanna, you guys point this out very early. Why did we go into teaching? We went into teaching as that calling. And when people go like, what do you mean a call? That sense of going like, we want to make a difference in the world, typically in the lives of children, the lives of communities, or in communities. Well, that's that human condition that you're talking about, that human connection that's there. And we go, boy, if I was back, you know, why did I originally become a teacher? I wanted to become a teacher to have connections, human connections. And as you said, it was funny when you went through all of those things, you started going rapid, 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 rapid. And it's like, it induces stress and you're like, yeah, going, my goodness. Right. And yeah, for people to hear that, it's like, wait a minute. No, slow it down. Let's take some time. We're about to come back to school. As we come back to school, let's recognize the reason we got into teaching was to make those connections, to make the world a better place. So, Joanna, you got the last word here.
Well, I'll always say, just like with my students, if I'm working with the student and I don't feel like I have the solution to just apply to them without engaging with them, without connecting with them and finding out, you know, I find out from them. That's kind of this, and saying like, our teachers really are our jewels in this system right now. Let's find out truly from them what is needed, and believe them and trust them that they can go into this school year recognizing that they're part of the solution, that something's not going to be put upon them, but that things are going to be called out from them. And I just know that, you know, again, to support us, we can't go into it being like, oh my God, it's going to be terrible. There's all these, you know, there's not enough teachers and class sizes are going to be huge. Right there then, if leaders are saying that, we're not setting up the best conditions for human functioning for everybody who is present. I look at the gifts in my students that's what I'm looking for. And that's why we have harmony, balance, we go deep, we enjoy our experience, and we're truly connected. It's not an act.
My goodness, it sounds like agency. It sounds like the connection. It sounds like a real professional, oh my goodness, teaching, the connections, learning. Joanna Rosato, man, busted pencils. As we say, thank you fully for busting pencils tonight. Johnny Lupinacci, thank you for co-hosting. L.A. Tom, thank you for calling in. Love doing the busting pencils every week. Make sure you join us next week. We're going to dig a little bit deeper into this thing we call teaching and learning.